Help family members understand the idea of your child's attentional spotlight and the importance of your child's focusing her attention on a person for increasing learning opportunities. Ask others to wait for a turn rather than interrupting the child's interaction with you. This is just good manners, like waiting for a pause or an invitation to join in rather than interrupting a conversation between two people. The same idea can be applied to other children who want to join in, as long as they are old enough to learn the idea of not interrupting others. Turnabout is fair play. When another person is engaging your child, be sure not to interrupt or vie for your child's attention. If you interrupt others and try to show them how to do it, you risk discouraging them from interacting with your child. All the people who are in a position to interact with your child will find their own way to do it, or will ask for help when they want it. Summary of Step 3. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have found a number of ways to eliminate distractors and increase your child's attention to you and your shared activities. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for increasing and supporting your child's attentional focus on you. Knowledge you will use for step 4. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving activities until you have found some methods that work for you. Activity checklist. Have I identified and minimized distractors? During play and caregiving activities, my child is frequently attending to me and to our shared activity. I have noticed what distracts my child and found ways to put away, cover, or hide the distractors in one or more rooms. I have had success at moving my child and myself to a different location to avoid the distractors. When I am interacting with my child for play or caregiving, the television and computer are turned off. When others want to join in, I have helped them with the idea of waiting and taking turns, rather than interrupting and diverting my child's focus. What about Pablo? For Pablo's parents, the remote and the TV were the distractors. As much as they tried to interest him in his toys or physical activities, his attention to the TV prevented them from stepping into the spotlight of his attention. However, they noticed that during bath time, he enjoyed squeezing his bath toys and making them squirt water. He also liked it when his parents put shampoo bubbles on his hands and belly. They added a couple of bath toys that wound up and swam, and he loved these and handed them back to his parents to rewind when they wound down. They tried blowing bubbles toward him when he was in the bath, and he loved this too, batting excitedly at the bubbles and looking right at them with a big smile, waiting for more. His parents also found that Pablo enjoyed being seated on the counter to be dried off after his bath, and they began to rough him up with the towel, play peekaboo with it, and play games like This Little Piggy with his toys as they dried them off. His mother turned him around toward the mirror, and as he watched, she put her face next to his and made silly faces and noises in the mirror. He enjoyed this, patting at the mirror and then at her face. All of these observations made Pablo's parents realize that he did enjoy playing games with toys and people, so they decided to take more control of the TV and remote. They made a point of having the TV off during meals, during bath time, and early in the morning. They also began to dress him and change him on the bed in the room he shared with his brother. Instead of in front of the TV, first thing in the morning and in the evening before his bath, and they used these times for play on the bed. In addition, his dad sat with him at the table at breakfast, and his mother sat beside him at dinner. They took more control of his food and drink, giving him little bits so he needed to request them more frequently. They also spent social time interacting during meals, having him help pass things, having him give them little bits, and having him help wipe the high chair tray before he was finished. Having the TV off during these activities cut down the amount of time Pablo was focused on it and increased his attention to them. However, Pablo still spent hours in front of the TV. Finally, after a few weeks, his parents took a huge step. One night, after he was asleep, they put the remote high up in a cabinet. They took more control of the TV, turning it on for 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour before dinner, and 1 hour in the evening before Pablo's bath. They set a kitchen timer at these times. When the timer went off, they plugged in and turned on the TV and reset the timer for 1 hour. When the timer rang again, they turned the TV off and unplugged it. The first morning, Pablo searched and searched for the remote. He was very upset when he couldn't find it. His mother turned the TV on after breakfast for an hour while she got dressed and ready for the day. And when the timer went off, she was ready with the stroller and his coat. She turned the TV off and put his coat on him immediately, and they headed off to the park. Pablo cried when the TV went off, but he was distracted by the trip to the park, which also provided some good playtime on the swings. When they got home, his mother changed him on the bed, then put him in his seat at the table for a snack, and she sat down for a cup of coffee. She provided some toys at the table while he was eating, a puzzle, a book, and she managed to hold his attention with these for more time than she expected. He fussed for the TV, but she just ignored the fuss, and after the snack, they went into his room for some roughhousing on the bed, and then some toy play on the rug. This was the new routine of the household, and in a few days, Pablo stopped searching for the remote and began to show much more interest in playing with his parents, with toys, at the table, and in the bath. Mom and Dad had worked very hard to figure out how to eliminate the competition from the remote and the TV, but soon realized that they couldn't actually compete directly with these powerful draws. They had to remove the competition altogether. They also had to put up with the fussing and crying that they knew would occur in the first few days. But by substituting other activities their son enjoyed and getting him out of the living room, they got through the roughest part. And day by day, Pablo adjusted to the new routine. My son never had great affection for television, but when he was 3 years old, I found it useful in certain ways. I had big picture books showing objects, people, facial expressions, and other things that we used often to practice pointing. It seemed a natural complement to watch carefully chosen television segments and talk about what emotions the characters were showing, with comments like, "Is she happy?" and "Which one is sad?" and later, "Why is she sad?" The reward for being engaged and talking was getting to watch a favorite show. Step 4. Identify your child's social comfort zone. Rationale. All people, including children, have different reactions to the physical closeness of other people. Some people need more social distance than others. Others love to be close. To attract your child's attention to your face and body, it's important to determine your child's comfort level with physical closeness. Activity. Learn your child's signals about how close is comfortable. You are going to carry out a little experiment here. Learning from your child where he is most comfortable watching and enjoying your company. That space is your child's social comfort zone. Wherever your child seems comfortable looking at you establishes the right distance for learning for your child. It may well be that after a while, when you and your child have developed a number of familiar, enjoyable social routines, your child will be comfortable with your coming in closer. But it's not really so important how close or far out you are. What's important is increasing your child's attention to you and being close enough that you can still touch the materials and your child. Here are some ideas for learning and responding to your child's signals about how close is comfortable. During the face-to-face activities you are using from Step 2, pay attention to how close you are to your child and how she reacts to your closeness. Most parents playing with a young child find themselves within arm's length of their child's face, able to touch their child's face with their hands. This is a natural place to be when talking to a young child and sharing play and emotions. Most young children with ASD can handle this level of closeness comfortably, though your child may need a little time to get used to a closer distance if it is different from the typical way you interact with your child. If your child shows marked head turns and looks away from you, this is called gaze aversion, back up and observe how your child responds. Backing up goes against most people's instincts. The natural tendency is to get closer or to touch the child's face or do something to draw attention. However, some children need more distance to enjoy face-to-face interaction. If you see your child look away as you come in closer, then back up to where you were before the child looked away. See if you can resume your interactions without eliciting gaze avoidance. If not, back up a little more and try again. Some children are more changeable than others and may change their reactions very quickly during an activity. They may appear to enjoy your closeness during an interaction 1 minute and then suddenly shift to a less positive mood, even if the activity and your involvement remained the same. If your child's mood changes rapidly from happy to unhappy, or the opposite, or the child takes a little longer to warm up to an activity, you may want to move around a little. Think about what actions or effects your child may enjoy most about the activity, and show these to your child from a slightly greater distance. Summary of Step 4. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have found the boundaries of your child's social comfort zone in several different activities and will have used this to help your child attend to you and your shared activity. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for adjusting your position to maximize your child's comfort and attention for Step 5. If not, please return to the start of the section, review it, and try again. Seek some advice from another person who knows your child very well. Activity Checklist. Am I in my child's optimal social comfort zone? My child is not actively looking away from me or leaning back. My child is looking up at me and my actions sometimes. I am in front of my child and close enough to touch my child and the objects between us. My child seems comfortable, playing with objects, smiling at times or focused on play, calm, interested, or happy, excited. What about Matthias? When we first met Matthias, his main interest was lying on the couch to stare out the window. Dad developed several physical active games to interact with Matthias, but it still required a lot of effort from Dad to keep the interaction going. Matthias smiled and laughed when he was thrown onto the couch or airplaned around the room. But he did not always persist or actively seek out Dad to continue the game. Dad felt that he could at times take it or leave it. So how could Dad elicit more excitement from Matthias? To figure out this next step, Dad started to experiment with the social comfort zone to see how slight changes in his own positioning might affect Matthias. Dad started by observing differences in how Matthias responded when Dad's face was up close versus farther away while he was bouncing Matthias on the couch or circling him around the room. When up close, Matthias at times pushed Dad's face away. But when Dad placed Matthias down and leaned or sat back from him, Matthias tended to follow Dad with his gaze. Matthias's attention to Dad was most apparent when Dad took a few steps back from the couch to sit on the floor. Matthias got off the couch and ran over for Dad to lift him up in the air. Dad continued experimenting with the physical distance between himself and Matthias, and realized that for physical games, having more distance worked better. It seemed to ignite more effort in Matthias to seek out Dad and continue the game. This was the same for playing an airplane game or swinging him around the room. When Dad stopped to place Matthias on the ground and took a few steps back, Matthias was more likely to look at or lift his arms up in response to Dad's open arms than when Dad crouched down right in front of Matthias's face and asked him. The same was true when Matthias was tired of an activity. Dad saw that a little extra space helped him interpret when Matthias was truly finished with a game, because he did not pursue Dad, but instead looked elsewhere in the room. Dad was then able to confirm that Matthias was all done with an activity and follow his eye gaze to the next play idea. Dad felt more successful in understanding his son's attempts at communication and in building more interactive games for participation. Step 5. Join in by following your child's lead. It is very common for parents to interact with their child by creating a new activity and offering it when the child is already attending to something else. The child with autism might be engaged in opening and closing a door, or rolling a car back and forth, and when mom or dad interrupts to propose an unrelated activity, the child might ignore the parent or even become angry and upset. This can make the parent feel like a failure, or at least feel frustrated by the child's lack of attention or interest in the new activity. Instead of trying to direct your child's attention to something, in this step, you will practice following your child's attentional focus. Rationale. Following children's attention as a way of teaching them may seem unnatural or backwards. We are very used to teaching by instructing and directing our children. However, many studies have taught us that children, especially young children in the language learning years, learn language more easily if parents and others follow their children's attention and talk about what the children are already attending to. Redirecting their attention breaks their concentration and runs the risk of losing it altogether. The following activities use the four main techniques that we employ in ESDM to follow children's attention. These are major teaching skills that you will use again and again as you follow these chapters along. So practice them until they come easily and naturally to you. The watchword for step five is this: where you lead, I will follow. Instead of trying to change your child's activity or focus of attention, try to follow your child's attention into her current activity and join your child in it. You can use the objects, toys, or activities your child is focused on to build an interaction. Activity. Use active listening. A great place to begin is with active listening. You may know that phrase from other contexts, and if so, you know that it means listening, really listening to what the other person is saying and working hard to understand the person's intended meaning. With other adults, we try to understand by listening and by asking questions for clarification, by restating what we have heard, and by giving supportive comments. When we are active listeners of a young child at play, we position ourselves in front of the child so it's easy to share gaze, watch what the child is doing to understand his goals, narrate his actions, make admiring comments, and add sound effects or drama, drum rolls, cheers. We might help the child, picking up a toy that has been dropped, pushing something closer than the child wants. We also might imitate the child's actions with another object. This kind of active listening and commenting can occur in many situations with your child. It creates a situation in which both of you are sharing attention to the same thing. And sharing attention is a powerful tool for child learning. It makes language meaningful and puts you into the child's attentional spotlight, on center stage, engaging and responding to your child's play without interrupting or changing your child's focus. Active listening can also help to maintain your child's attention to the activity so you can add more learning opportunities. It communicates to your toddler, "I'm here. I'm interested in you. I see what you are doing, and I'm doing it too." As you join and follow your child and become more active, with comments, approval, sound effects, and mirroring actions, your child will attend more to you. Activity. Narrate. Joining your child begins when you share your interest in her activity by watching, smiling, nodding, and gesturing. Active listening. It's easy to proceed from actively and approvingly watching your child's actions to being your child's narrator. As you watch actively, add simple single words or short phrases to describe what your child is doing. The reason for using simple language is to help your child begin to hear individual words and associate them with objects and activities. If your language is too complex, then your child may not understand which word or phrase describes the object you're holding or the action you're demonstrating. For example, if the child is picking up a toy train on the floor, you might say, "It's a train." As the child rolls it, you might say, "Chugga chugga chug," and help the child roll it. If the child pokes at the wheel, you might say, "That's the wheel." The chart at the very end of this chapter provides ideas for narrating other kinds of activities. Describing your child's play without interrupting or changing your child's focus can help to maintain your child's attention to you and the activity while you provide opportunities for learning language. Remember to position yourself in front of your child in such a way that your child can have a very clear view of your face. It helps your child to be more aware of your attention and your speech. Helpful tip. If narrating doesn't come naturally to you, pretend you are a sportscaster calling the play-by-play while observing your child in play. Comment about the objects and actions you and your child are using as you play. Use short phrases. Have fun. Activity. Offer help. Another way to increase your child's attention and engagement as you watch and narrate is to offer help. Hand your child toys during play or changing and bathing times after your child indicates an interest, rather than simply placing them within the child's reach. Name them as you give them. Hand over bits of food one by one, rather than putting all the food on the high chair tray during meals, while you are seated in front of your child and narrating what's happening. When your child reaches for an item slightly out of reach, say, "You want banana? Here's the banana," and hand it to your child. Or you can divide something into several pieces, like breaking a cookie into bits or handing over one block at a time. Using more pieces means more learning opportunities for your child to communicate with you and take in the words you say and the actions you do. Assist your child when he is struggling to reach a goal, like trying to stack a block, and make sure that your help is obvious to your child. Being the deliverer of desired objects and needed help makes you a part of the activity and helps your child attend to you and your language. Have the desired object ready, waiting, and in plain sight, and deliver the object dramatically to be sure your child attends to you as you join in. My child never needs help. Some children are so determinedly independent that they never seem to need help. If you have a child like this, you will have to engineer some situations in which your child needs your help. You can create a situation in which your child needs your help by sometimes putting a favorite toy or food item in a clear plastic baggie or a jar with a lid, so that your child can see and touch the bag or jar, but cannot open it. Then you can offer help by extending your hand and asking if your child needs help, opening the bag or jar, and giving the child the desired object. When your child recognizes the object in the bag or jar, he may indicate interest in getting it and may look from the bag or jar to you and back, or make a sound while looking at it, or pat it with his hands, or hand it to you. Even if you're unsure whether your child wants the item inside the bag or jar, you can open it and give him the object. As you repeat this game over time with a few different materials, a game may develop. You can also offer enticing toys with special effects that the child needs your help to produce, such as winding up a toy that spins. Activity. Imitate your child's actions. Another way of increasing attention to you and creating interactions is to imitate or mirror your child. While facing your child, play with the same toy or object, taking turns. Or use a second identical toy or object to imitate her actions, so you don't have to take the toy away from your child. For example, if your child begins to roll a car back and forth, you might use a second car to roll back and forth, imitating the speed with which your child is rolling the car. Imitation can also extend to noises or verbalizations your child might produce. Positioning yourself in front of your child and imitating her will almost certainly attract your child's attention. If your child is trying to put a block in a box, hand blocks over one by one, helping, and also put some in yourself, imitating. If your child is banging a spoon on the high chair tray, get another spoon and bang in rhythm in front of your child while saying, bang, 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 narrating. You are very likely to see your child's attention come your way. This strategy of imitating your child's play helps to shift her attention and builds awareness of you as a social partner. By joining your child's ongoing activity and narrating as you go, you are turning a solo into a duet. Helpful tip. Refer back to your list of actions, sounds, and movements your child performed when you observed the child's play. Either take turns with your child's toy or use a second similar toy to create these actions. Remember to narrate or give a label to the objects and actions you're using, keeping the language as simple and short as possible. If your child does not imitate you back, go down your list and try another action. Helpful tip. Some children may become upset when you first join them and handle their materials in play. They are used to playing in a certain way, and they may resist the change that comes when another person joins in. If your child reacts negatively to your attempts to join in, don't worry. Your child just needs to get used to your involvement. Reestablish facing your child within your child's social comfort zone, and use only the techniques of active listening and narrating for a few days. Stay with these techniques until your child seems quite comfortable. Then begin the next technique of helping. Stay with helping for a few activities, and then begin to imitate occasionally. Final activity. Mix it up. Combine listening, narrating, helping, and imitating. We have just discussed 4 techniques for following your child's interests and activities. Active listening, narrating, helping, and imitating. These 4 techniques typically occur together when people play with very young children. Even though you have been focusing on one or another of the techniques as you were practicing them, you have probably found that you often used more than one at a time. Now that you've practiced each of these during your play and caregiving activities, take some time to practice following your child in many of your activities during the day. Do this with as many of the 6 types of activities listed earlier under Step 1. Toy or other object play, social play, meals, caregiving, dressing, changing, bathing, bedtime, book activities, and household chores as you can over the next few days. You will probably have to make a conscious decision to practice during an activity, though this will become more and more automatic for you as you practice and see the results. You will get an activity going or join your child in an already begun activity, and once you are positioned well, Consciously begin to follow your child. Spend about 5 minutes in the activity, and at the end, take a few minutes to think about when you listened and narrated, when you helped, and when you imitated. Try to take some notes. We have put an example in the form to show you one way that might be helpful. The example comes from 18-month-old Landon, playing ball with his mom on the living room floor. The form shows the ways his mother followed his interest in the ball and joined him in ball play without redirecting him. Read it through, and then imagine your child's favorite toy or object play routine. Think about how you could use narration, helping, and imitating with your child in that routine. Then think through a caregiving routine, like bath time. How could you use these strategies during bath time? Summary of Step 5. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have found a number of ways to follow your child's interest into an activity and join him or her without redirecting your child to a different activity. After you have carried out one of these practice activities, look at the following checklist and see if you agree with most of the statements. If so, you are now armed with important skills for increasing and supporting your child's attentional focus on you. Knowledge you will use for the rest of the chapters in this book. If not, go back through the chapter again, following along and trying each new activity multiple times with your child over the next week or so. Take your time to master these skills. There is no rush. You and your child will both enjoy your interactions a lot more when you can incorporate these skills easily into your play. Activity Checklist. Am I following my child's lead? I followed along with my child's interest for a few minutes and did not try to redirect it to other activities. I was face to face with my child, and my child was well positioned to notice me. I watched my child's actions and narrated what my child was doing or looking at for a little while before I touched his or her toys. I joined in by imitating what my child was doing, including making sounds. I helped my child by making it easier for my child to reach his or her goals by repeating the activity and/or by handing over objects he or she wanted. My child looked at me from time to time. Here is an example of mixing them up. 2-year-old Dominique and her father James are playing on the floor with toys. They have a bag of blocks in front of them, and as James watches, active listening, Dominique reaches into the bag and pulls out a block in each hand. "Oh, you like those blocks," he says, narrating, and James hands her another one, helping, and says, "Here you go," as he holds out his other hand. Then he says, "Here, Dommy, can Daddy have a block?" She takes the offered block and releases one to his hand. He has two and puts them down in front of her, helping, stacking them up and adding a few more to the stack. She looks at the stack and he begins to add sound effects, whistles, and make a bigger display of stacking the blocks, hamming it up and making it a fun spectacle. As she watches, smiling at his sound effects, he offers her another block, helping, and she puts one of hers on the stack and takes the offered one. He immediately puts one on the stack, imitating. James and Dominique each add blocks to the structure, imitating while he narrates. Another one, and another one, and another one, until they crash. He says, "Crash!" in a big voice, narrating, and they share looks, smiles, and laughter. Dominique begins to build the tower again, and he follows along, narrating, helping, and imitating while the game is repeated. In this example, James uses active listening, narrating, helping, and imitating to follow Dominique's interest in the blocks. He does not try to change the activity or direct her to something else. He stays with the blocks and follows her interests and reactions as he tries one thing and then another to see how she will respond. He is a great playmate. They create a fun game, and he has her full attention as he sits across from her, helping her create fun routines with the blocks. Her attention lasts a long time, and they have lots of back-and-forth interactions with the blocks, each one a learning opportunity for her. She has not stacked blocks before. Look at how fast she learns this from him. Chapter Summary. We have been discussing ways to increase your child's attention to you and foster face-to-face interaction. Watching your child to see what he is paying attention to will tell you where the spotlight of his attention is falling, so you can join your child on the stage inside that spotlight. Carefully positioning yourself so that you and your child are facing each other without too much distance between you gives your child a very clear opportunity to look at your eyes, face, and expressions, and to learn about all the social information that comes from faces. Although at first this may seem awkward, you will find that it becomes easier and easier with practice. This kind of face-to-face interaction is great for play, but it will also help you provide many more learning opportunities for your child during daily activities. Remember the 6 main activities described for Step 5: toy play, social play, meals, caregiving, book activities, and household chores, and try to use these techniques in each of them. We have also described some ways to increase your child's attention to you during activities. The most important of these are the big 4. The first 2 of these are 1. Active listening while interacting with your child by watching what she does and commenting on it. And 2. Narrating her activities in short phrases and single words, while joining in and following rather than trying to redirect or interrupt your child's activities. We have added the activities of 3, helping, and 4, imitating, as other important ways of joining your child and increasing your child's attention to you. We know that it is more natural for some parents than for others to chat and interact with their young children face-to-face during caregiving and play routines. For young children with autism, increasing the amount of time they have people inside their spotlight of attention is absolutely crucial to their progress. You will be joining your child in things that your child already loves to do, and joining a happy child is a fun activity for most parents. Have fun practicing these steps. Refrigerator list. Goal: to increase your child's attention to you. Steps: identify your child's attentional spotlight. Find your position in that spotlight, face to face with your child. Eliminate the competition for your child's attention. Find your child's social comfort zone and stay inside it. Follow your child's lead. Use active listening, narrating, helping, and imitating. 5. Find the smile. Having fun with sensory social routines. Chapter goal. To help increase your child's smiles and laughter during face-to-face social games, songs, and social exchanges. The more fun your child is having, the longer your child is attending and interacting with you, and the more learning opportunities you can provide. This chapter assumes that you feel comfortable and successful with the skills from Chapter 4. If you have started spending more time interacting with your child during play and daily routines, and have been rewarded with more eye contact, more gesturing, and even some smiles from your child, and if you've been checking your refrigerator list, and also reviewing the activity checklists to help you remember the strategies, you are ready to add to what you've learned. In this chapter and each chapter that follows, you will add a new set of ideas and strategies to the previously learned skills that you will continue to practice. Helpful tip. If you don't feel very secure yet with Chapter 4's skills, spend some more time practicing them before using this chapter. Try using the activity checklists right after a playtime and after a childcare activity. Give yourself a pat on the back for those skills that went well, and then practice the ones you were less comfortable with a little more in the next few days. We are providing you with the same tools that we use ourselves. When we provide therapy to children with ASD, we use checklists after sessions, score ourselves, and zero in on those skills or behaviors that didn't go as well as we wanted, so the next time we can enhance the learning opportunities embedded in our interactions with children. Why having fun together is so important. This chapter focuses on increasing the fun quotient, FQ, of the activities you and your child do together. Fun is an important part of helping your child learn for numerous reasons, especially these 6. 1. More fun equals faster learning. People of all ages want to continue activities they're enjoying. This seems so simple, but fun keeps both you and your child at an activity, and for your child, more practice leads to faster learning. 2. More fun equals more learning opportunities. The longer the two of you interact, the more learning opportunities you will provide for your child. 3. Adding fun to a learning activity aids the learning and memory process. Pleasurable activities result in much faster and durable learning than carrying out activities that do not have any emotional meaning. 4. Your child's cues that tell you she wants you to continue a fun activity are the basis for your child's learning to communicate. Looking and anticipating, smiling, reaching, or bouncing with excitement can all be developed into clear gestures, words, and eventually sentences. This is one of your most powerful communication teaching opportunities as a caregiver. 5. A favorite activity is its own reward. Repeating an enjoyed activity after your child communicates wanting more provides a strong reward for your child's communication. The power of teaching through play is built on this natural reward system. 6. Being a very frequent source of fun and pleasure increases your child's attention to you at all times. As your child learns what kinds of fun activities the two of you can do together, your child will be looking for more and more opportunities to do them with you, which means more engagement, more communication, and more learning opportunities. What's happening in autism? Children with autism do not seem to experience as much natural reward in social interactions as other children. Based on research conducted by one of us authors, G.D., we think that one of the basic biological differences underlying autism is this decreased internal reward for social interactions and engagement. The good news, though, is that this biological system is moldable and responsive to experience. Through enjoyable play experiences, you can increase your child's experience of pleasure in social interactions and his internal motivation to seek out and enjoy social engagement. This paves the way for more interaction and more learning opportunities. Why is it a problem? Not finding social interaction as rewarding as most other children means that children with autism are not seeking out as many opportunities to interact with others as other children do. And that's a problem, because humans learn so much from these interactions. We learn communication, language, object use, imitation, play, friendship, pretending, emotional intimacy, all aspects of mental and emotional life, not so much from school or other organized educational activities, but in the ebb and flow of daily family life. We think that this reduction in learning opportunities day in and day out, which results from fewer interactions, adds to the social communicative delays in autism. Let's consider this example of a little boy with autism. I, SJR, met 17-month-old Andre at his home, with his new baby sister, 4-year-old brother, and parents all together. The parents had just recently recognized his ASD and had received a diagnosis that week. As I entered the house, all of the family members were in the main room except Andre, who was alone in his parents' darkened room, holding 3 figures from Toy Story. His parents told me that when he could, he spent his time either there or in a closet, and they had to keep all the doors closed to keep him in the main room. He held the figures in his hands, then dropped them together onto the carpet and circled around them, watching them, then picking them up, and held them together in his hands, and then dropped and circled again. He noticed me, but didn't really look at me, and his handsome little face was quite serious. This went on until his father led him by the hand out of the bedroom. I asked his parents to show me Andre's play routines. His father carried out a lively roughhouse game involving flipping Andre onto his shoulder, airplaning him around the house, and then somersaulting him down to the floor. Andre smiled delightedly during this game, and when it was over, he lay on the floor, smiling and looking at his father with his big brown eyes. Dad scooped him up again, and the game was repeated. His mother also had play routines that Andre enjoyed. She sang Itsy Bitsy Spider to him as he lay on the floor, using some hand motions and creeping her fingers up his chest when the spider went up the water spout. He smiled happily, looked directly at her, and waited eagerly for her to repeat it when she finished. So here was the fun quotient, FQ. The parents had some great tools to work with. They instinctively knew the power of these games. Andre did not try to leave to play with his figures. He stayed with these games until his parents and I began to talk, and the parents stopped initiating the games. Then he took his figures and returned to the bedroom. Andre's parents and I talked about how to increase the number of fun social games they played with Andre each day. When I walked into the house 1 week later, I was amazed at the difference. The figures were up on a shelf and out of the way. Andre was on the floor with his father, completing a puzzle when I arrived. His parents reported that they had tried to engage him frequently during the day, and the more they tried, the more he responded. As I watched each of them take turns playing with him, I saw Andre playing happily with his parents, using his eyes, hands, and voice to continue games when his parents paused. What's more, when they stopped playing for a minute to talk, Andre directly approached one of them to start another game. He initiated social interactions again and again. His face was lively, and he was highly motivated to interact throughout the hour. A few weeks later, Andre had a whole repertoire of songs and social games. He was reaching and communicating with voice and eyes. He could imitate the motions in some of his mother's songs, and when I came to the door and knocked, he was right there, opening the door with his mother, smiling, looking right at me. I asked his mother about his play with the figures. She told me that he was no longer interested in them. She hadn't seen them for a while, and he no longer spent any time in the bedroom or closet. He was now underfoot and wanting to be engaged with them constantly. This chapter is all about this kind of social play between two people, a kind of social play that promotes touch and gaze, fun and excitement for both you and your child. We refer to these early games that are designed to be fun, engaging, and pleasurable for your child as sensory social routines. Sensory because they often involve stimulating sensory experiences. Social because the primary focus of these games is the social experience of another person, not playing with objects or teaching cognitive or other self-help skills, although sometimes this happens as a byproduct of the games. And routines, because these games become familiar and ritualized for the child, a feature that makes them easier for your child to learn, so the child can quickly come to initiate and request these games. What you can do to increase the fun quotient. Three straightforward steps can help you find the smile to boost your child's learning during sensory social routines you do together. Step 1. Find the rhythm of sensory social routines. Step 2. Build a repertoire and refine the routines. Step 3. Optimize your child's energy level for learning. We describe how to carry out each of these steps, give you some ideas for activities to try, and suggest what you can do to solve problems that may come up. Step 1. Find the rhythm of sensory social routines. Sensory social routines are activities in which you and your child are happily engaged face-to-face in highly social activity. These activities are marked by reciprocity. That is, you and your child are taking turns and communicating with words, gestures, or facial expressions to keep the game going. Neither of you is directing the other, though you often need to start the game. Each partner leads, and each partner follows. You can see your child's leads when you pause or end one round of the game. Your child will do something to continue it. That is your child's turn or lead. Finally, sensory social routines typically do not involve manipulating objects, though there are exceptions. It is not object play. It is people play. In sensory social routines, each play partner's attention is intensely focused on the other, and they cue each other.